keepers of sinners, Jesus can save, as he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word, and he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, who have rejected, who have refused. Oh, sinner, hasten, let Jesus in, then God will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love, Jesus the power, Jesus is true. All who believe are saved from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. Brother Richard, do you mind up this morning in prayer? Y'all may be seated. All right, page 29, at the cross.
Amen.
It's good to be up under a fan and no gnats, too. I do want to say that. Page 29. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw life, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, me groaned up on the tree? Amazing pity, grace enough, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw life, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness I, and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that cross and where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord, and actually in the house of the Lord. Amen. And yet, nonetheless, I know some, it's different. It's okay to say YouTube church is different and drive-in church is different. Jeremiah had even made the comment on the way to church that, you know, drive-in was we'd never done that before. Well, now we can say that we have. There's a whole lot of things I hope we don't have to say that we're going to have, but, you know, we don't know where this is going. Once again, pray for safety. Just pray that God's hand would be upon us. My desire is not to keep us long in here, and trying to put in all the physical measures that we can. But remember that I can put all the physical restraints possible. It does not substitute you doing what you're supposed to do. And so let's be wise about it. Let's do what we're supposed to do, and we'll come. We'll be able to worship, and then we'll be able to go home and not have this. You know, I don't know where the Lord's taking it. All I know is that we're going to be faithful to Him during this time. And I appreciate that as well from you and the church, being faithful to the house of God, being faithful and wanting to be here together. And I appreciate that. Amen. There's no birthdays. Once again, we'll have a business meeting this Wednesday night after the service. I encourage you to come. Of course, it will not be on YouTube. Say, preacher, I want to be involved in it on YouTube. Sorry, I'm not going to broadcast the church business over YouTube. So it's just the way it's going to be. All right, and we'll figure all that out later. Amen. Amen. All right, brother.
All right, let's stand this last time for page 288. I am resolved. Ones can please stand. Page
4th of July. fell on a weird time. I mean, it's going to be Saturday, and we're still in June, and so you preach a 4th of July message before. Out of school, but not one time in my Bible do I find that it's the responsibility of the school or the government to teach our children about the Lord. I find that it's the home. And you say, preacher, how does that all relate? Well, because strong churches are made up of strong homes. I mean, honestly, if you look at, and I think about some of the churches that I know that are strong, I'm not talking about large in numbers, but I'm talking about large in faith. Large in work for the Lord. I look at them and I find them full of strong families and strong homes. And what's happened is there's been an attack in the home over the years. But it's also plagued our churches. And now we have an idea in America that anything goes and you can't tell me otherwise, and it breaks my heart. If you would, Genesis chapter number 4. Let me turn this fan down. I think my mic's on, but the fan's going to... I don't know if my mic's on or Jacob, can you hear my mic? Yep, I made it messed up. I've got it low in here, so we've had to do much learning in trying to get CDs to be loud enough that they can hear them. Of course, in the last 6 months, I guess, because we've got a new mixer, and the mixer's as large as my pulpit, and then it's an unpowered mixer, so we had to get power to the speakers, and so we had to get an amplifier, and you're going, preacher, I don't understand all of that. That's all right, let me just tell you the geek that I know, all right? And so we had to do that, but then if we turned it up very loud and we had have trouble with the volume on the mixer, and the mixer's feeding to the CD player, and you got to turn the volume down on the mixer, but it made it too quiet on the CD player, so we had to turn the amp down to turn the volume up, amen. And you say, preacher, how did you figure all that out? By the grace of God. Amen. Because it's been fun. But I am thankful. Listen, God has definitely allowed us to be able to reach. We're reaching congregation that we wouldn't normally be able to reach. And I am thankful for that. Not always are we going to have my phone in the middle of the aisle. This isn't going to be the norm. I'm going to end up putting one on the back wall to where we can project. But we also want it to where it can zoom in, and so that you're not, you know, seeing someone this big up here preaching. Amen. Brother Russell gets up to lead songs, and you can't tell if it's him or the pulpit because you're that far. Amen. And so we'll figure all of that out. But I am thankful for what God's still doing in the church. I guess I bring all of that up to realize that God's not done. Church isn't over, although we're looking for more creative ways. Jonathan and I were speaking this morning. We're looking for more creative ways to be able to reach the congregation that we have, but also to be able to reach the others. I'm not talking about compromise. There's a difference in creativity and compromise. We have to... Listen, I can't stand social media, and yet I have to advance. We've got to have YouTube, and our farm now has an Instagram page. That you know, Jacob's like, Dad, you're getting into the social media. You have to be creative, but you also have to limit what you see. Amen. And so I'm happy as a pastor to be able to reach. I want Brother Caleb to be able to tell us that he's Sherry Dickerson on YouTube. Amen. And I love that. I was like, who in the world is Sherry Dickerson? And then all of a sudden I see it's Caleb. I was like, well, that answers it. Amen. I don't know if I'm supposed to call him Sherry or Caleb, but I'll call him Caleb today. Amen. And, you know, but listen, I'm thankful that we have the ability to be able to reach when they're not able to be present. Now, we never thought it'd be COVID, but there is some good things. There's some bars that have been shut down. Amen. There's some waking up that had to be done. And listen, I believe it starts in the church. It starts in the church. Genesis chapter number 4, if you're willing and able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter number 4, we'll look at verse number 1. Genesis 4 and verse number 1, and I really have a lot, and because we're in the air conditioning, I have an 8-point sermon. But I broke it up into two sermons, all right? You say, preacher, you're going to kill us. It's okay. And if I had your permission, what I'd do is I'd just preach all 8 points. It's 2 hours, and we'll just go home and call it a day. But instead, we'll only preach the first 4, and then tonight I'll finish it up, all right? But I do want to give us all 16 verses. Now, through these two sermons, we're going to look at all 16 verses. So come back tonight. And I'm not talking about physically, but through YouTube, we'll have it and get everything around and be able to figure this out. Genesis 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Look at verse number 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? And the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Verse 13, And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. I want that thought to just kind of stick with you today. And as we look at these messages, the fact that he went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the ability that we have to come into your house, the comforts that we have through it. Lord, even the convenience of it. Father, I don't have as much to set up. We're not setting up and taking down. Lord, we definitely get into the place where we like it convenient and we like it comfortable. And Father, I am thankful, though, that we just have the ability to come, Lord, to worship you, to hear your truth proclaimed. And Father, what we need today is to hear from heaven. We don't need to hear what I might have came up with or what you've allowed me to dream up, but instead, Lord, we need to hear this fresh touch. We need to hear a direction and a desire from you. Lord, I pray for our nation.
I pray for our state. I pray for our local governments, Lord. There's such turmoil in America right now. Lord, we've watched it on the news in other countries, but now it's came here. Not just the dealing with the sickness, but instead, Lord, a dealing with sin sickness and hatred. And Lord, just a problem that we have today as a nation. But Lord, I find as well that it's not because of the lost people. But instead, Lord, I would blame us as the saved, Lord, that light that's supposed to shine. Oh, Father, that we wouldn't get complacent where we are, that we wouldn't get weary in well-doing. And Lord, that we would search out and we would seek Your face, Lord. For You've promised that when we search, You'll be found. And Lord, we desire to hear from You today. Have Your will and way, Lord, through this message. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We are in a shape in America that I really thought I would never see. You know, we read back in history about brother against brother. And that's really where we are. And you don't know what side of a fence. And it's sad that we've got to have a fence. It's sad that there's got to be a division. It's sad that we're in the place that we are as an American. And remind you that we're Americans. We're all from the same country. It's not that, I'm English American, or I'm white American, or I'm black American, or I'm Hispanic American. No, the fact is I'm just American. And we've got to get to that place that we come back to, we're just Americans again. But what's happened to America? We were the land of the free. But when were we free? Yeah, may I tell you, the first state that had true freedom was Rhode Island. You say, preacher, how did they get that land? Well, I'm glad you asked, because they purchased that land from the Indians. They did not come in and take that land. In fact, you'd say, well, preacher, they came from the other countries because of persecution. And we think about the Puritans, and boy, how we celebrate Thanksgiving. And the Puritans were great there in Massachusetts, as long as you was Puritan. Because there was a man by the name of Roger Williams that said that this isn't right. And he had said that, I don't believe in these ways. And they wanted to send him back, and they wanted to put him into prison in England. And they were going to send him back. And yet he went over to Rhode Island, and he purchased the land. And he started a little place called Providence. In fact, it's the First Baptist Church in America. You know what they abolished? You know what they went ahead and said that there was none of? He said that there was freedom for everyone. It didn't matter who you was. White, yellow, black, white, it did not matter. It was complete freedom. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of race. It did not matter. You know that was really when America was free. That was the only... You never notice. You ever look at Rhode Island? It's the smallest of all the states. Because freedom's really never been. But we, America, the land of the free, the land of the proud. I think that's probably the problem today, is that we've become too proud. I look as well, and I think of America as the land of opportunity. That means that everyone has an equal opportunity. Unless you're a male. Hold on now, I know I'm getting some looks. I'm probably going to get some dislikes on YouTube. That's okay. Unless you're a male. Unless you're white. Hold on a second. You see, Sister Woody, if you started a business right now, you'd have more success starting that business than starting for a government contract because you're a woman. Scooter, go under her name. And there's many, many companies that do it just that way. They're going to start it up as a woman-owned business. Because they have priority as a woman-owned business. It's a minority. Any minorities, you've got certain amounts. If you're a company, you've got a certain amount of minorities that you've got to hire. But you know what? I'm not a minority. And so, is it really the land of opportunity? No, this is what I really believe that it is. America, the land that accepts sin. That's where we are today as a nation. America, the land that accepts, not only accepts, approves sin. It's not just the fact that we'll let you have it. We're going to put our stamp of approval on it and say it's okay. Let me give you some dates. In 1973, America legalized abortion. In 1973, we began saying that it was not murder to kill a baby. And we said that it was okay that there were 615,831 babies aborted in 1973 after it became legal. In 1990, there was 1,429,247 babies that were aborted. And now, in 2016, and I know you say, preacher, we're in 2020. It's the most current that I could get 4 years ago. 4 years ago. You're going to say, boy, preacher, we had to have 2 million. No, I'm going to show you what we've done. You see, in 2016, there was only 623,471. You say, preacher, why the decline? Why would America have 600,000 in 1973, and then in 1990 we're at 1.4 million, and then in 2016 we're back down to 600,000? That means that we're getting better. People have seen that it's wrong, and they're not doing it. No. It's because we teach our teenage daughters that they need on birth control younger. I'm serious. I remember when Jacob and Jonathan were teenagers and they wanted them to get this shot that was a vaccine for if they were sexually active. We said, Doc, we don't need that shot. You say, preacher, you're thinking too high of your kids. No, I know my boys. I know where they are. I'm their parent. I don't put them in those situations to where they could be. Hello? You see, America has said, oh, hold on a second. We're just going to abort them, and you don't even know it. Most women don't even know that it doesn't make you sterile. Birth control actually aborts the baby for you. It makes your uterus in such a spot that it's a volatile area for a conceived egg to live. And it aborts the baby without you even knowing it. You know why we only have 600,000 abortions in 2016? Because there's millions already being done in the eyes of Planned Parenthood. Hold on a second. In 2007, there was a young man that broke into the church, 16 years old. And he didn't know it, but I had a trail camera in there, and I got his hand in the cookie jar. We turned it over to the authorities, and the authorities went over to his house and confronted him with a printed-off picture of him. Can't really deny that now, can you? In fact, when the authorities got here, they loved it. They're like, oh, you got a picture. They loved it. They're like, boy, we need more pictures. Amen. Whole lot less investigation when you have a picture. And you know what they found in that jacket? Marijuana. But you know what the response was? It's just marijuana. 2007. It's just marijuana. We went to court. They asked me, they said, what do you want to see happen? Now, my desire was not to send this boy to the big house. I wanted to help him. I wanted to invest the time in him and help him. I wanted to know how to break the mold. Listen, America's headed down the fact that it's just marijuana. It's okay. Now, mind you, it's the gateway drug that opens you up to everything else. It's just a sip of alcohol. It's just marijuana. It's just cocaine. It's just, and by the way, if we were to start a farm right now in the state of Georgia by the Agricultural Department of Georgia, we could actually get assistance if we had decided to grow hemp. You say, preacher, what's hemp? Wild marijuana. Because they want it for CBD oils that's everywhere. You say, preacher, that's just a medicine. That's a corrupt medicine. That's a corrupt medicine. Hold on. It's approved by the FDA. You're going to say, preacher, that's why we don't use anything but things that aren't approved by the FDA. You'd be surprised what everything's approved by the FDA. We're looking at making some products. You know who gets the recipe? The FDA. Don't think you're buying something that the FDA doesn't know about. And they say, it's okay, it's just marijuana. 2015, June the 26th, Sarah and I's anniversary, 5 years ago, they legalized in America same-sex marriage. That every state had to accept it as right. Say, preacher, where are we? How do we get this way? May I tell you, verse number 16 of our text falls into place. They went out they went out from the presence of the Lord. America is not in the presence of God. I know we always proclaim, and boy, this year for the 4th of July, you're going to hear many that are proclaiming, God bless America, as they're drunk and intoxicated with the joys and the corruption and the sin of this world. Where are we out of the presence of the Lord? Now, I can't do anything about the fact that we're already out there. But I guess what we need to understand is, where are we today and how did we get there? You got to know where you are. And as a nation, we're out of the presence of God. But how did we get there? You see, it's not because of Anheuser-Busch. May I be honest with you? It's not because of Jack Daniels. It's not because of all the liquor. It's not because prohibition is lifted. It's not because of all the... It's not because of CBD oils. It's not because of the crack houses. It's because of the church. And some would say, well, preacher, is it because they quit preaching against sin? No, I'd like to beg to differ. Look at the testimony of most Americans. I'm saved. Listen to me, we're in the Bible Belt. You knock on someone's door, and it's kind of hard during COVID, but you knock on someone's door. Hey, sir, how are you doing? My name is Jeff Spencer. I'm the pastor of Northside Baptist Church. We're just in the neighborhood speaking to folks and letting them know that we're out there. And I'd like to give you a gospel track and talk to you about the Lord. I'm saved. I know. Oh, yeah. I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. I know the Lord is my... I love the Lord. That's the testimony of most Americans. I'm not making a mockery of it. I'm just saying someone's lying. I'm just trying to be honest. I'm not even being judgmental in this. Hold on a second. There's some things that are wrong in our lives, and we've decided that we'd rather... Oh, by the way, look at verse number 16 again. Look at Genesis 4 and verse number 16. I want you to pick up on this. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. May I tell you that at one time Cain was in the presence of the Lord? May I tell you who chose to leave the presence of the Lord? Some would say, well, preacher, God had put that chastisement on him, and God had made him... No, 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 no. I find in chapter 3 in verse number 24 that he drove man out of the garden. But may I tell you, there was no driving Cain out. Cain was in the driver's seat. Cain's the one that chose to leave. Cain's the one that had that option. So what's happened? Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Jude. Isn't it funny? We start at the beginning and we need to go to the end. Turn over to the book of Jude. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. I bring you all the way up to verse number 7 because I want you to see the context. In Jude, verse number 7, we begin to see what's happening in this change, if you would. Verse number 6 is talking about the angels that God had reserved judgment for them because they had kept not their first estate. He's speaking about the angels that fell with Satan. And then in verse number 7, he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now, how many times have you talked bad about a politician? I don't care if it's one you like or don't like. Guess what? You didn't put them in power. God did. Hold on, if you believe your Bible... You didn't put them in power. God put them in power. I don't care if you like them or don't. God's got them there for a purpose. Notice this. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, For they have gone in the way of Cain. What'd they do? They went out of the presence of the Lord. The moment that we decide that Cain has the right way, we go out of the presence of the Lord. And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, that's speaking about for a reward, he goes on there for a reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm afraid if we'd be honest that we have a danger in front of us. Because Cain, if we were to look at Cain as a picture, we would say that that's the name of our old man or of our old nature of the earth. Cain, we'll find later, means possession. And Cain, as much as Eve had received a child from the Lord or a man from the Lord, he was the firstborn. May I tell you that my firstborn is always going to say that something of the flesh is going to be right. But may I tell you that Abel is a picture of our secondborn. He's our born-again part. But you know what our firstborn wants to do to our secondborn? Wants to kill him. Amen. Wants to kill him. And Cain, if we were to say that my old man had my baloney has a first name. We would say that my old man has a first name. It's C-A-I-N. And every one of us have a problem. Every one of us, I know I needed some more letters in there. Brother Richard's like, can't you spell it different? But, was you asking her if I spelled it right? But, you know the problem is sometimes our Cain wants to convince us that we need to go out of the presence of the Lord. May I tell you how many times Cain's mentioned in the Bible outside of his birth, and it's good. You see, that first part in Genesis chapter number 4 where Eve said that I've received a man from the Lord and his name's Cain. And honestly, it wasn't even bad that he was a tiller of the ground. It's not bad farming. It's not. But after that, there's never anything good said about Cain. You know, there's nothing good about our old man. And as a nation, the problem is the old man is what's ruling. You know what's happened in our churches? The old man rules. The old man's, it's really not that bad. It's what we used to always do. I don't have a good old past. I don't have a time that I want to remember. I just want to remember my walk with the Lord. I want to remember my Abel. Not my Cain. Notice if you would. We find that he went out from the presence of the Lord. We look at this. The very first area that we see that we need to deal with is the accepted sacrifice. The accepted sacrifice, because it's the very beginning. You'll never be where you're supposed to be with the Lord until you nail this down. You'll never have that new man until you deal with the old man and his ways. Now, we look here in verse number 1 through 4, we find the birth of Cain and the birth of Abel. We find that Cain was a tiller of the ground. But then we find that there was a process of time in verse number 3, and it came to pass that Cain had brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And so I find here that there was an accepted sacrifice. You see, this accepted sacrifice was taught by their parents. It was taught by their parents. May I tell you, I had already brought it up in the introduction, in the fact that America's families have been under attack. Don't get mad at me now. It's kind of hard to understand how a gay couple that in the eyes of the state can say that this is accepted and that this is right can teach about the accepted sacrifice. I don't get it. How they can say that this lifestyle and this is right and that love is always love no matter who it is that's doing the loving is with God. I don't get that. But I find here in this account that Cain and Abel were taught by their parents. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I want you to understand how much Adam and Eve knew that the wages of sin was death. Abel hasn't died yet. They didn't know what physical death was. But can I tell you the pain that they felt when they had a walk with God and then they were drove out of the garden? Can I tell you what joy was in their heart when God had taken that innocent lamb there in the Garden of Eden and their sin, and they're standing there and here's the serpent and here's Adam and here's Eve. And God said, in order for me to have this fellowship with you, in order for me to accept you, there has to be blood shed. The Bible says that they made coats of skins. It was not coats of wool. It was not hair that was taken off of the animal. No, the animal died so that the coat could be made. And the blood was shed. Now, don't get mad at me. This may be kind of gruesome to you, but I don't even believe that they took time to tan it. I don't believe that he took time to make it to where it was all cleaned up. No, I believe that he put it on them bloody. You say, preacher, how in the world? Because it's still the blood that cries out today. It's still the blood that's the only way. There's an acceptable sacrifice. Why was it that Abel came and he already knew that I'm going to give of the fruit of the lamb? I'm going to sacrifice the animal for me to offer it to God. Oh, I'm thankful that God came and He didn't expect us to sacrifice our own life as a replacement. I can't die as an acceptable sacrifice. But instead, I'm thankful that He came and He died in my place. And He was that Lamb, the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish, that He died for me. There's an acceptable sacrifice. It's taught by the parents. You know what's happened in America? We've taught so much to our children, except about the blood. We have. Oh, it's important. Listen, there's many things that we teach Jeremiah, and we've tried to teach Jacob, but 21 years, I figure if he hasn't got it by now. But Jonathan's just as bad. He's 25 and hadn't caught on. Don't think you're a slow learner. John's 25 and he hadn't caught on. Amen. But we look, and there's some things that are important. I believe hygiene's important. Amen. You don't know how hard it is, Brother Richard, as a supervisor, as a boss, to have to tell someone that they need to take a shower. I've had those. Hey, my boss, when I was safety, he's like, hey, I think this is a safety issue. I'm like, I don't see how you figure that, but all right, give it to me. I'll go talk to him. Let me have the paperwork. I'll go talk to him. It's not fun. His parents should have taught him some things. Amen. But how much are we really teaching? How much are we really telling? And you say, preacher, I want to make sure that my child's got the right education. Michaela, you just graduated school. And boy, you need to go on and you've got to get it. You're going for your doctorate, right? You're going to go all the way to your... You say, preacher, why would she go for a doctorate? Because, well, I guess the only thing higher than a doctorate, to my knowledge, would be a double doctorate. Amen? That must be what a dentist is. They're a DDS. but listen, education's important. Caleb, education's important. And you should do your best. Amen. I'm thankful I have an education. I might not act like it. I might not even sound like it. But I've got an education. But is that really the most important? Over in the book of Hebrews, and you don't have to turn there, in chapter number 12, verse number 24, the Bible says, unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You know what? Abel's blood cried out. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ's blood is better. Amen. That it still cries out today. It still cries out today. I look here and I find that this acceptable sacrifice, it was taught by their parents, but I find as well that there was a time of their presenting. There was a time, the Bible tells us in verse number 3, that in the process of time it came to pass. Oh, it's going to come to pass. There's going to be a time where you're going to have either yes or a no. There's going to be a time where you're going to need to make a decision. It was a time that came that they needed to present the sacrifice that they were going to accept from God or accept to God. And Cain said, I'll do it of my own. It was everything that he could do. He was a tiller of the ground. He had worked up the best. Now listen to me. It wasn't that his wasn't good. It was a beautiful sacrifice. He gave him the first fruits. I'm telling you that if he went to go get a tomato, that tomato that he would have picked would have been exactly the way it was. It would have been vine ripe. Now, some of you don't appreciate tomatoes the way I do. I could probably founder myself on tomatoes. In fact, I plant tomatoes just so I can eat them straight up the plant. I'm in the garden. I'm just going to eat tomatoes as I'm walking around. Carnal side of your preacher, there's an old song that was in the 80s that said, homegrown tomatoes. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it talks about being buried in the garden so that you can be by your tomatoes. I'd be all right with that. Amen. Mama buries me in the garden when I get older. Don't ask. It's because that's what the preacher decided he wanted. Amen. But I love tomatoes, and I'll eat tomatoes all day long. And I'll just cut them up, or I'll just eat them as an apple. Some of you eat apples, I eat tomatoes. Amen. But I can just see this bountiful supply of this fresh fruit. Of everything that he had done, he had toiled for it, he had worked for it. And listen, it was beautiful. It was perfect. It was the first fruit. That meant it was the best. It hadn't been corrupted. You see, the problem is it's got to be the right, but then it's also got to be at the right time. You know one thing that I've learned in my tomato field? You say, preacher, how big is your tomato field? I think it's a 5x10 raised bed right now, but it is so jam-packed full of tomato plants that weeds don't have a chance to grow. But you know one thing I've found in trying to get them to be vine ripe? Is that there's a time that it's too late. There's vine ripe, and then there's a day after vine ripe. You know what we try to do? I'm going to go and sow my wild oats. I'm going to go and live my life. And then when I'm done living my life, I'm going to give God my best. Now, hold on. That's not the first fruit. You're already a day late. But that's also not the accepted time. You see what I do with those tomatoes that, you know, when you reach up in there and you're like, ooh, this is going to be a beaut. I mean, it looks like a beaut. I'm going to pull that down, and you put your hand in it. I mean, literally, you put your hand in it. I just walk on over to the chicken tractor, and I open up the lid, and I give the chickens that tomato. Cain, I mean, it was beautiful. Beautiful. And there was a time that came, but it wasn't the right fruit. Listen to me. He tried to do it on his own. He tried to say, Lord, everything that I have right here, it's perfect. It's going to be just what you need. And God says, I'm not going to accept that. There's going to be a time in your life where you're going to have to come to that place where it's not what you're doing, but it's all in what He's done. It's not in the church that you go to. It's in what He's done and the faith that you have in Him. You see, it's coming to that place where you say, I've had many deathbed professions, and I don't know if they're saved or not. Because I'm telling you, when you know you're getting ready to face eternity, you're going to say anything. But I don't know that your time's not already passed. You see, it was a presented time. It was the time that they were supposed to come. In the time that they were supposed to accept that sacrifice or lift up that sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, the Bible says, For he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted. In the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait till it's too late. I look on and I find, before he ever went out of the presence of the Lord, we find the accepted sacrifice, but then we also find the anger of the self-righteous. Notice on into verse number 5 and 6 here, the Bible says, unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? And I look here and I find this anger of the self-righteous. The first part is the problem with self-righteousness. We expect God to accept everything that we offer up to Him, be it right or wrong. May I tell you that the churches that are meeting today that aren't using the right Bible, don't have the right songs, don't have the right attitude, it's a check-the-block religion. Listen, we live in a social gospel. As long as you're a member of this church, you're in good standing in the community. As long as you can do this and that, then everything's great. And we expect God, because we're self-righteous. Brother Scooter, I know that we're still the only... Eventually, people are going to get righteous on their own, all right? But they have their self-righteous suspenders, and they'll look down their self-righteous noses. But may I tell you that they get mad when God says, that's not what I want to accept. That's not the way it's going to be. How many times do we offer up to the Lord and we expect Him to take it and expect Him to go, oh, you did such a good job. You know what really makes me sick? When a Christian wants a pat on the back for just being a Christian. And hold on, that's a very loose term today in America. I'm talking about when someone really lives like they're a child of the King and they want a pat on the back because they're doing the right thing. It should just be commonplace. And they get angry. Oh, preacher, did you not see what we had done and how everything's in place and how we had done this? You mean you did what you're supposed to do? Now, I can't say that because, boy, you'd be mad at the preacher. I can't believe he talked to them that way. That's what I want to say. I'm just being honest with you. That's what I want. You mean you need a pat on the back for doing your job? You need a... Jacob, what time you got to be at work tomorrow? 7:30. So when Jacob shows up at 7:30, you know what they need to do? Oh, Jacob, thank you for coming to work today. You got to be kidding me. But that's where we are today, isn't it? I'm talking about in our churches. I'm talking about as a child of God, the self-righteous. And we get angry when God doesn't recognize. Does He not see how good I am? Does He not see all that I've done? Does He not see how spiritual I am? Oh, hold on now. Some of you are giving me that sourpuss look. Amen. Look like you just ate a lemon drop. But listen, that's where we are. We have this problem with self-righteousness. I told you earlier that Cain meant possession. You know what he possessed? You know what he had to offer? The world. The world. You know what God doesn't want in our life? The world. He said that if we're a friend of the world, we're enmity with God. And so, take your Bibles if you would. And I know you've already heard this, but praise the Lord, maybe someone on YouTube hasn't. Look if you would over the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 3, and if I need to cut this off earlier, I can. We'll see where we need to stop us. I know I've preached a while. I've also got to be careful because of the time on the CD, because we're recording the music as well. I used to be all right when I just recorded the sermon. It's hard to preach 80 minutes, but when you have recording the service at 11 o'clock, I've got to be mindful of that 80-minute window, all right? That means I've got till 12:20, all right? So if you're keeping note of that, I've got till 12:20. But notice, if you would, Romans chapter number 3. I want you to pick up in verse number 9. The Bible says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, with their tongues, they have used deceit, with poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They're speaking French there, Brother Richard. Amen. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. Their, notice this, is no fear of God before their eyes. May I tell you, the problem with self-righteous is there's no fear of God before their eyes. They have that idea, they have that place where there's no fear whatsoever of the Lord before them. And so I find the problem with self-righteousness, but then I find the pride of self-righteousness. I told you before that America is the land of the proud. Land of the proud. And we become very proud in our actions and very proud in our mindset in this idea that we can do whatever we want and God's going to accept it. In 1 John chapter number 3, verses 11 and 12, it says, "For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore he slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." How many times do we feel that ours should be the highest? God should do more for us. How many times do you look at someone and see God blessing them and you get mad because they're being blessed? Hold on. That's called pride. That's called pride. Lord, you should be touched. I mean, why would you accept Abel's more than you'd accept mine? He didn't work any harder for his than I did for mine. And so I look as well in James chapter number 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And so I find as well the approach of the Savior. The approach of the Savior. And I might stop here as we look at this point. I want you to see in verse number 7 how God responded. Aren't you thankful for a God that loves us in spite of us? Aren't you thankful for a God that calls us when we're just, if it'd be okay, stupid? So I'll let some of you soak in that in. Amen. Brother Stephen, ask me after the service. I'll tell you what that spells, all right? But you see, the truth of the matter is how God responds, is how He responds to us in our self-righteousness and our sacrifice that's not accepted. Notice this. Look at verse number 7. "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Notice this. It's not a message of rebuke. It's not a message of rebuke. You know how many times people think that God only wants to be a God of oppression? I mean, really, He wants to confine us, and He wants to keep us, and He wants to control us, and He's got that thumb on us, and all we can do is what God says, and hey, here's this book of do's and don'ts, and it's a hard life to live. Listen, I'm not enduring it. I'm enjoying it. God didn't call me so that He could just oppress me. No, He called me to give me real freedom. He called me to give me peace and ease. Take your Bibles, look over the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. Matthew 11, very familiar passage. But in this, I don't find Him rebuking. I don't find this being an answer to Cain and his hostility and his anger. And instead, the Word of God tells us that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Just calmly saying, "Cain, if you do us well, will you not be accepted? If you do us the way that I want it to be, will I not let you come into the fold? Do I not have a sweet embrace here for you if you'll come my way, because I am the way?" And instead of a rebuke, instead of a chastisement, although He knew, God just simply reminds Him. And sometimes as the child of God, we need to be reminded as well. It's not the fact that He looks at us and He knows where we are. Listen to me. He knew what was in Cain's heart. He knew the problems that he was having. He knew the struggle he was facing. And He didn't say, "Cain, thou wicked young man." No, this is what He said, Matthew chapter number 11. I want you to look at verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse number 28. And if you'd allow me, hold your place in Matthew 11, 28. Genesis 4, 7, he says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted." Matthew 11, 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know what he said? He said, "Cain, come unto me. You've been laboring. Oh, I know the effort that you put forth. It wasn't the effort that I desired." How many times did he tell the children of Israel, "Why do you fast? Did I ask for this? You're trying to afflict yourself so that you're going to get me to accept it. And that's not at all what I want to accept." You know what he wants us to be? Just obedient to him. He just said, "Come unto me. Look, Cain, you've been struggling, you've been working, you've been toiling. Would you not say that Cain was heavy laden? Would you not say that Cain was worked?" I mean, honestly now, the sacrifice that he produced, it was not some sacrifice that was polluted. It's not like he brought it up and the flies were plaguing it. Brother Russell, he didn't have the gnats. And boy, praise the Lord for the gnats, because if you don't have the gnats, you have the flies. And I'd much rather have the gnats. I'm just being honest. And if you don't, I believe we've got this dust coming in. Does anyone have itching heads? Some of you are looking at me kind of crazy. Go back to the book of Exodus. And you see how the dust comes in and the lice come from the dust. Amen. Just stop there. All right? If I start watching you. Brother Russell, if you start scratching your head. Brother Russell, you're going to have to worry about them here, not here, okay? All right. But is that not what God tells us today? He says, just come unto me. I know you've been toiling. This was not a rebuke. It was an invitation. He didn't even say, you know, "Cain, if you do us well, if you could have produced something better." No. Doing well is when we come the way God says we come. Doing well is not what we can do. Doing well is just surrendering to Him. Doing well is when we're His way, because He is the way. Doing well is what He was asking Cain. He said, "Cain, you're never going to do well in yourself, but you'll do well in me." And so I find here that it was not a message of rebuke, it was a message of repentance. It was a message of repentance. He said, "Cain, it's time that you surrender that self-will. Cain, it's time that you see yourself as you are." You know the problem with Cain's sacrifice versus Abel's? Cain's was a free will offering. It was. It was free. No one made him offer that up to the Lord. You know, I believe that's what fueled his fire even more. "I didn't have to do this." How many times have we said that to God? The problem with Cain's sacrifice is it wasn't a sin offering. You know what God's inviting us to? Realize that we're still sinners. We need a Savior. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity." It's because you need a Savior. You're here today, you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I've trusted Jesus as my Savior." You know what you still need? A Savior. You know what I don't ever want to forget? I still need that sin offering. You know what I don't want to forget? Lord, I just need to humble myself before you. Lord, I still need repentance today. I still need to turn to your way. I still need to quit trusting in myself. I still, you say, "Preacher, all these years, preacher, you're a preacher. Preacher, how can you have, I'm just like you are." And every single one of us have this old Cain that we pull around with us. And sometimes we lean on Him too much. And sometimes we come to the place that we need to realize that God's still there. And you know what He says? "Come unto me. Oh, son, just come unto me. Let me embrace you.
You know, sometimes it's the fact that we got to get back out of that pig pen and we got to be that prodigal son and run home and say, Daddy, I know I'm not worth being a child, but I'll sure be your servant. And sometimes we're that child that's not even away from home, but yet we go, I feel so separated because I was trying to do it on my own. My boys will never admit it, my older two. Jeremiah says Dad knows everything. He knows a lot. John and Jacob won't say that anymore. But there's some times, even in their life, as they've gotten older, they realize that they still need Dad. They think they know a lot. And I'm not saying they don't. There's a lot of things that they've learned, and there's a lot of things that they've grown to. But there's still some times that they've got to come to Dad. You know what I do as an adult? I realize that I don't know it all. There's some times I need to go to Dad. My Heavenly Father knows everything I need. Sometimes I need to just come back to Him and go, Lord, thank You for reminding me. Thank You for not chasing me away. You know what Jesus could have done? You know what God could have done to Cain? You've been taught, Cain, I reject you. But He said, Cain, if you'll just come my way, are my arms not open for you? Are you not just as welcome as Abel? I still love your mom and dad. You know what He says to us today? I still love you. My arms are open. If you'll just come back to my way. Come back to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for this spiritual food that You've presented. And Father, I pray that Your will and way would be done. Take this invitation, Lord. Use it to Your glory and to Your honor. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Music softly plays today. I encourage you to come. I don't know how we want to work the invitation. I don't know how we want to work the altar. Maybe you want to just kneel right there where you are. That's fine. But God spoke to your heart. I sure encourage you to seek His will. To seek His will. Come on.
Sometimes I think I'm in control.
Oh, this wasn't a message of you. You didn't.
And
after.
I act so foolishly. Facing problems on my own. I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes at times disturb all the plans you had made. Lord, keep me in Your way, so I won't be in Your way. And put me where You want. Remind me, Lord, I'm just a glove.